Good morning, everyone. This is Linda Santavica on Pressing Beyond. First, I want to thank all of you who voted for Pressing Beyond in the category of Best Female Podcast by the People Choice Awards. While Pressing Beyond did not win, it was an honor to get a nod from the committee and be considered for an endeavor that was started a little over a year ago. When I heard the news, I was a little disappointed, but in the scheme of things, winning a podcast award would not make or break me. Let's just say it was fun to be in the running. And if I did win, I would probably be post-blasting the results all over social media. Again, my loss may have been a tad disappointing, but that, I believe, is because it was not a competition that I set myself up for. How we respond to losing depends on the amount of time we invest in our chances. Let's look at top-tier talent. How do professionals manage loss? Lost a promotion to another candidate, lost the part to another actress, lost an opportunity to another musician, lost the Super Bowl to another team, lost the America's Cup to another crew, and lost the top prize at a tennis match. Like all top professionals and athletes, winning is the desired outcome when we are up against the most challenging opposition. When competing, we know how to accept a win, but how do we accept loss? With grace. Now, I am not an official referee or an expert on athletic acumen, but I do participate in physical sports. So with that, I am speaking of what I understand. First, for all pros, performance is key. What adds to performance is the physical. Athletes, especially, practice 24/7. They train and have a healthy food regimen, and they make a lot of sacrifices. They are working to win. Yet, as important as it is to be in physical shape, the mental is just as vital. The mental is the space where we focus, persevere, and process our wins and losses. Let's look at this past weekend's U.S. Open, one of the top tennis matches that takes place in Flushing Meadows, Queens, in New York. Not big on being a spectator, but this is one sport I love to follow. It's an exhilarating game to watch, especially from the sidelines of the Arthur Ashe Stadium. However, now I watch the game in my living room from my couch. So let's go back to the Open. The women's final. Emma Raducanu from London won the Grand Slam. But from all the buzz in the media, it appeared that Leila Fernandez was the favorite. She had high energy, she was upbeat, smiling the entire time, and was fueled by her fans from the stands. Yet, Raducanu took home the trophy. And it was obvious Fernandez was disappointed. But when you have two teenagers who are at the top of their game going up against each other, it's hard to determine how things will play out. With the men's final, Novak Djokovic was clearly the favorite. If he had won, he would have been the first man in 52 years to win all four majors in one year. But that didn't happen. Daniil Medvedev took the prize. And that's what's so fascinating about the game of tennis. When you have the best playing against the best, you just don't know the outcome. A winner scores, and until their next game, they are deemed the best. But what about the one that loses? Djokovic, who often talks about the mental, what goes through his head, took a serious hit. He even took his frustrations out on his racket. Yet, during the closing ceremony, his public response was incredible. He demonstrated grace and professionalism regardless of his huge loss. He owned it. So what do we do after a loss? I mean, we know after a win, we exhale and then we celebrate. But after a loss, we wonder, what went wrong? I worked so hard. I thought I had this. I mean, we can make ourselves crazy when the outcome doesn't align with our desired vision. Since watching the Open, I couldn't help wondering what goes through the mind of the pros, like Fernandez and Djokovic, who worked so hard to get so far, then not take home the prize. So with that, I found an interesting article on what to do when we lose. From Frank Sonnenberg's book, Book Smart, Hundreds of Real World Lessons for Success and Happiness, he writes about 8 ways to be a good loser. And I believe most professional players stand out because they know how to lose. So here's the abbreviated version of the 8 principles that are very much aligned with pressing beyond. First, take time to mourn the loss. It's natural to get upset after a loss. Give it a good cry and move on. Next, be positive. Winning without honor is worse than a loss. Remain calm and level-headed. 3, and I love this one, remain true to your values. These are the times when real leaders reveal their character. Show some grace and self-control. Be a positive role model. Do yourself proud. 4, own the loss. Don't look for excuses or cast blame. Accept responsibility for the loss, or you'll never take corrective action to better yourself. 5, determine why you lost. If the loss was due to poor effort or careless errors, then the loss is on you. It's one thing to lose to a better opponent and quite another to beat yourself. And 6, and I think this applies to everything we do, raise your game. What can you do differently next time if you're faced with a similar situation? Learn and improve. 7, turn barriers into hurdles. Don't let challenges deter you from your goal. Winners run toward the challenges. Losers run from them. And last, one of my favorites, don't quit. Show some grit and determination. One loss doesn't make you a loser any more than one win makes you a winner. As Norman Cousins, the political journalist, said, quote, death is not the greatest loss in life. The greatest loss is what dies inside of us while we live, unquote. So to summarize, I believe a great winner is one who knows how to lose with grace. And if you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe and keep pressing beyond.